Thanks for tuning in to the Power Walk Ministries broadcast with pastor and teacher Reverend Paul Cannings. This week, Dr. Cannings will continue teaching on the series Faith in Adversity. This is a broad area where we can all relate, and yet even as believers who have followed Christ for years, we're left without any understanding of how to handle a certain challenge. Can you relate to that? Bringing us alongside Nehemiah, Dr. Cannings gives us several key principles for how we as believers can exercise our faith and walk with confidence because we are not alone. This is Message 6 in a 10-part series, and right now, here's Dr. Cannings with today's message titled, Having the Courage to Obey.
The obstacles that we face in this life should not drive us to experience the inability we may have or lead us to a greater struggle because we depend on our experiences and our knowledge base. It should drive us to experience God at His best. That is the challenge that we face when we look at the book of Nehemiah. I mean, why can't the people in the land finish the walls? Ezra chapter 4 tells us about it. They started it. They were working on it. They ran into opposition. Sambalot and Tobiah and all these different people, they impressed the king, Xerxes, to stop them from rebuilding the wall. So here is a person as a cupbearer that is in an extremely difficult position. He's a cupbearer to a person who has stopped the rebuilding of the walls, who is the most powerful man in the known world, who doesn't need an act of Congress to cut his head off, and he is going to approach that person to challenge that person to go back to do the very thing he told the people he couldn't do. This is the obstacle he faced. Why? Because he has a passion for the problems the people were having. Nehemiah is driven by a love for God and a love for his people. He's driven by that, and that does not slow him down. That causes him to go to God, who he's fully trusting to help him. What's driving this compassion? Think about the circumstances the people were under. They were dealing with walls that were in rubble. The walls had so many holes in it that jackals will come through the walls and eat their children when they're asleep at night. They have to fight off the enemies coming in when they had reaped their crop and getting ready for the winter, and so they can store their crop to make it through the winter. They would take their crop so they starved through the winter. But no, there were no gates. The gates were burned with fire. They could come in at any time. And who did they come in and take? They came and took these folks' children. They took their young, strong boys and made them slaves, and they had no power to stop them. And then you have them taking their young girls and take them to their homes and make them slaves and concubines. So how would you like it? Did you farm in your land? Not only did they come and take your crop, they took your children. That's how desperate it was. This struggle became Nehemiah's struggle that led him to a passionate prayer and fasting before God, and then to put his life on the line before Xerxes. See, some people face problems and they find all the negative things and reasons why they cannot overcome it. But some people come to problems with the ability of God, not their ability. David stood in front of Goliath with God's ability, not his. You go through the Bible and you would find people over and over again. Deborah, instead of Barak's fear when he looks at the enemy, Deborah believed God and stood and fought for the people of Israel. The issue was the call to faith. Whenever their struggles were there, it's a recalculation of God. What is it that you're saying I do when I face this issue, and am I willing to trust you through it? Where is our passion that drives us to do what it takes to put our life on the line for the things of God? That's the passion that brings faith to a whole nother level of trust and surrender to God that is incredible. This is what we find in Nehemiah. What is the first thing Nehemiah does? Not only does he come into the king's presence overwhelmed by the problems that he's facing and the compassion that it brings to him. Nehemiah comes, and when the king addresses him, because he knew he had a relationship with the king and he trusted it, Nehemiah exercised wisdom. He didn't come to the king and says, man, the city that you said they couldn't rebuild the walls and it's creating all kind of crisis for the people is the people that I know. They're my people. And you're doing... No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't come with a fighting tone, confrontational tone. He understands his role. I'm a cupbearer. I serve this king. I have a job to do, and I must stay within the structure of this job and get it done. As a matter of fact, I'm leaning on the strength and the grace of God and the mercy of God, because I was supposed to go back under the leadership of Ezra. I chose to stay and function in this job. He put his life at risk, and he exercises wisdom in how he approaches this. See, that brings his heart to Xerxes' heart. And they connect. And that connection that leads to response drives him to more prayer. And when it drives him to prayer and the Xerxes doesn't do anything to disrupt Nehemiah, Nehemiah comes up with a plan. See, folks, when we see the grace of God working, the next step is to develop a plan. A man may decide in his heart what he wants to do, but God is the one who guides his steps. God is the one. And the issue is, am I going to get up my feet and do something about the issues that I face? Or am I going to sit back and keep doing the passive thing of, well, I'm going to seek and wait for God? No, no, God is saying waiting is active. Waiting is not passive. Waiting is, I so believe that God is going to fix the problem, I'm going to take off doing something about it. And that's what you see Nehemiah did. You find this in verse 5, and it's powerfully laid out. He says, and I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, send me to Judah, so that the city of my father's tombs, he's keeping it personal, that I may rebuild it. I understand that you allowed them to not rebuild the wall, because we're rebellious people. You believed in Sambalat and what he said. But I want to rebuild it because of my father's heritage. My legacy is there. And I want to take care of it. And I come to you in respect of the structure that you are king. I'm your servant. I ask your permission to leave. And then when the king gives him permission, he says, then the king said to me, how long will your journey be and when will you return? In other words, I trust you, Nehemiah, to manage my food and manage my cupbearing responsibilities. Because a cupbearer didn't just manage the food, he manages the kitchen. He manages the getting this and getting that and making sure that everything is functioning and organized for the king, so no one can penetrate the king's security and hurt the king. So the king obviously knows Nehemiah, knows his heart, have a respect for him. So he wants to know when he's coming back. Nehemiah addresses the king's concern. So I pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. In other words, I took him up on what he said right away. Okay, you don't mind me going, I'm going. But here's a time. Look at how he's responding to this. He is taking whatever God gives him. He's not so overwhelmed by the problem. All he could think about is fixing the wall. So the first thing is, king, I need some sticks. I need some wood. I need some rocks. I need some soldiers to go back with me. No. The first step is what he's given. When God opened up his hand and give you one step, take the one step. Sometimes when we face problems, we want to get it all solved in a day. God wants to keep me walking and trusting him. So I'm not going to sweat that I don't have all of this in my plan. And I wish I had that. And I wish I had. No. God gave me this. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take that and I'm going to work with it. We have to accept what God provides, because that's how faith works. That's why many times in the Bible, when you trace the word remember, it's constantly brought up, remember, remember, remember. Because when God gives us one shot at something, that's what we use. Nehemiah took what he was given. Later on, Nehemiah stays 12 years. But on this one, he's coming back quickly. Nehemiah says, okay, I'm going to need materials. Look at what he says in verse 9. Then I said to the king, if it please the king, let the letters be given to me for the governors in the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. In other words, I don't want any kind of things that would encumber me making it along the way. So I need a letter. Look how he's piecing this together. I need timber. I need to figure out how I can get the timber out of the forest. Let me ask for that. King, I need to make sure I'm straight with you. I need to get the gates done. I need to get. Why is he saying this? I want to make sure that when the enemies write you back, I'm not doing anything you don't give me permission to do. So he stays within the structure. He accepts what limitations he has. He doesn't fight them. He only accepts what God has given him, and he goes about doing what God has given him with the strength of his hands. And look at what he ends with this passage of saying that is so powerfully written out. The good hand, the hand of God, meaning the authority, the power, and the control that God has. The good hand, the hand of God that brings us profit and puts us in an advantageous situation. Now we have time. We now have a passage through the worst particular areas because they wouldn't want to touch the king's people. They touch the king's people, they touch the king. He's going to send an army to tear you up. He's gotten now wood to build the gates. He's gotten materials to establish the walls, and he's got soldiers going with him to make sure nobody touch him. So the good hand, God has done stuff that I never dreamed I can receive. God has become personal now because he's seeing God working for him as he chooses to trust and surrender to God. What does he just lead to? A worship service. When God has done things for us, he didn't fix the walls yet. The gates haven't been fixed yet. He is yet to get on a donkey or a horse and ride for 900 miles and make his way to those forests. He has yet to happen. He has a hallelujah praise service. Oh, folks, God has sustained and he has kept you. So when we come and we have developed whatever plan for our families, for our health issues, for all of the different things in taking care of senior parents, when we have a plan in serving God because we have a passion for what the concerns and the difficulties that are facing our cities, facing our nation, and we go about doing what we can do for the glory of God, and God does things in a powerful way. Man, you don't need a piano to play before you give him praise. But we come to church and the pastor got to pick us up. The music got to pick us up. Why? Because our life struggles when it comes to living by faith when we face obstacles. We tend to face it in our ability and our mindsets. Rather than God, I don't care how impossible the hill is. My job isn't to make it over the hill. My job is to just climb it. God, I don't know what people face today. Life can be so difficult each and every day. God, I pray in the name of Jesus the Christ that they would not see it as a mountain that can't be climbed because your comforter lives inside of us. As we face life, help us to look through your glasses, not ours. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Stay focused.
Can you relate to that? There are so many people and circumstances coming against Nehemiah, but he chose to step out courageously, putting his trust in God. And every step of the way, God showed his faithfulness in providing for him. How about you? Are you stuck in a situation? Then go to God's Word, cry out to him, and seek his wisdom. And if you're listening but have questions about having a personal relationship with God, then we invite you to call us today. Our number is 281-260-7402. That's area 281-260-7402. And right now, here's Reverend Cannings once more.
As you know, these are difficult times, folks. It's a difficult times for all ministries, for families as well. And we appreciate those who have stuck with us despite all of it. We'd like to finish the year in the black. We need $300,000 to get that done. You do that, you impact so much because we are not just on television. We are on radio in the Caribbean and Africa. We are here to serve people at conferences. We just came back from a conference in Rwanda. I pray that you recognize that it's a gift to fulfill an agenda that God has placed. Help us to finish in the black. $300,000 would bring us there, and that would bless us to be able to take care of the responsibilities that God has provided to us. Thank you for your gift. And for those who continually support us, it is definitely encouraging. Have a great Christmas.
Please visit our website at powerwalkministries.org, or you can call us at 281-260-7402. If you'd prefer to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 920517, Houston, Texas 77092. Remember, all of the people in the Bible were ordinary folks just like us, but God worked in and through them because they were willing to put their trust in God and obey Him.